the meeting, a community in which each person is accepted and nurtured. So maybe just take a breath with that. How can we make the meeting a community in which each person is accepted and nurtured, and strangers are welcome?
Pardon me, Carolyn.
Sure.
Are you referring to our meeting or the general?
Yeah, thank you. This is Advices and Queries number 18, and that's how it starts. Does that make sense? So, let me just come back. Yeah, does that make sense, Loretta? Are you familiar with Advices and Queries? I'm not sure in the States if they have the same. I'm just reading number 18. There you go.
Yeah, I believe we have the same. Yeah.
Okay. I'll just read it and we'll see where it takes us.
Mm. Thank you.
Seek to know one another in the things which are eternal. Bear the burden of each other's failings and pray for one another. As we enter with tender sympathy into the joys and sorrows of each other's lives, ready to give help and to receive it, our meeting can be a channel for God's love and forgiveness. So I'm going to cycle back to the beginning, this first sentence. How can we make the meeting a community in which each person is accepted and nurtured and strangers are welcome? And we know from our time together here, you know, to have a loving community, we must be a loving community. And this starts with the welcomer at the door, smiling, shaking hands, hugging people into the meeting house, physically and psychologically making space for them, welcoming them in, whatever way they are arriving. And what became painfully obvious last year in BYM is that people with black and brown bodies have not always felt accepted and nurtured. So how then do we bring our unconscious biases gently into the light? You know, George Fox said, the first step of peace is to stand still in the light, which discovers things contrary to it. The first step of peace is to stand still in the light, which discovers things contrary to it. I believe, you know, every time we practice, you know, with all our heart really desiring to stand still in the light, that is where we can be open to the light showing us things that are contrary to it. You know, our biases, our conditioning, our judgy minds. Someone said to me recently that hurt people hurt people. That you've heard of that saying. It was new to me. Hurt people hurt people. But it is surely true that transformed people transform people. You not think? So welcoming with nurture and acceptance. And of course, I think meeting is the sand tray for life. I mean, like the little ones I teach in reception, you know, they're in the sand tray and they're practicing how to share and talk and receive each other. And this is how we practice in meeting or here together right now. And that practice of nurturing and accepting can then kind of go out into ripples, right? And isn't it interesting that sometimes the things in our lives that we hope will nurture us, our work, our relationships, our meetings, can get really bogged down in stuff? It's almost like we have before us a really nourishing meal, but we can't enjoy it because we get too busy. Or we approach the meal as just another thing on our long to-do list. I noticed that in the Quaker Life meeting, in the Quaker Life weekend recently, how many, many friends were saying how their meetings had stopped being experienced as nurturing. That's really troublesome, right? If we've got this wonderful meal, this silence, this peace, this doorway to something that's peaceful, and we can't benefit from the nourishment. I think that's troublesome. So, you know, friends, that's thing number one that's been troubling me from this. And then the welcome, coming back to welcome, the welcome continues in meeting for worship when we make sure, when we're ministering, that we're speaking clearly, you know, or we're offering a glass of water or a tissue to someone in grief, or how we welcome children or people from a different race or background. How are we welcoming people? And after meeting, it's in the teas and the coffees offered, and the courage and kindness behind the conversations. You know, I'm so grateful to have Sue here this evening. It's her superpower, you know, how she'll check in and say, how are you? How is meeting for you? How is your son doing? And so on. Early Quakers would inquire, how doth the seed grow in thee? Which to me is an inquiry of our spiritual well-being as well. How doth the seed grow in thee? Okay, we're coming into thing number two, which I found really knotty. Seek to know one another in the things that are eternal. I guess I've just often wondered, what do we mean by the things that are eternal? You know, I was visiting a new friend to welcome her to membership, and we shared a life story. She shared her life story, and we just found so many connections that at the end of the meeting, I felt we'd touched into that which is eternal, but it wasn't eternal. It was just the day to day as well. So it seemed to be how they connect. I reflected, it's a really privileged position that there are really very few times in our lives when we can get to know each other with this kind of depth. Maybe in our meetings, you know, we could consider meetings for learning to get to know each other. You know, our chapter headings from birth to now. And maybe through that, touch into the things that are eternal. I'm not sure. In Buddhist philosophy, there are the three heavenly messengers. I don't know if you've come across that. So there's sickness, old age, and death. So, you know, in some senses, those are considered to be eternal in that they are ubiquitous and everywhere, unavoidable. It's, I suppose, yeah, the unavoidable suffering in life. And Jesus, too, he said when he was pressed to give a sign, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. That's Matthew 12, 38. No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. Which I kind of take to be meaning that every one of us is going to get the belly of the whale experience. It's not a... Can't avoid it, seems. And I was holding an imaginary conversation with George Fox recently. Excuse me, I do this from time to time. And I asked him, you know, what is eternal? What does it mean to get to know each other in the things that are eternal? And maybe that's, I'm not sure where that phrase comes from. Maybe that's something that George Fox or Margaret Fell said, but maybe you know. The answer came straight back anyway in this imaginary conversation. The light is eternal. The light is eternal. So getting to know someone in the things that are eternal is somehow getting to know how the light is working in that person. Maybe. I think this is why friends talk of joys and sorrows. We understand how the light is working in a soul by seeing how it is shining on that which is contrary to it. So when we're suffering, feeling helpless to change a situation, how does the light show us the dark, shadowy places? You know what Richard Rohr calls shadow boxing. How does the light show us that? What's happening here, which is eternal? And when we're in joy, how does the light shine? Maybe for an example, I could share when I'm singing with a class of children and I'm in a space of joy, can I allow that to open me up to see them and hear them, really hear them in a tender way? Or when I'm in nature and feeling the joy of the intense green with all that spectacular kaleidoscopic sense, you know, that are saturating everything at the moment. Can I let that joy nourish me and sustain me? Or do I breeze straight past it? You know, can I pause enough to take heed, kind of drink it in a bit? And then there's the image of Jesus saying to his disciples, take, eat. This is my body. Jesus seemed to be saying here, I am within you, I'm embodied, woven into your flesh and your blood. This is where you'll find me. And this light, which is both particle and wave, you know, it's particular, embodied, personal, here and now. Like with that friend I visited, and she was sharing her personal journey. So that links to these particular questions we have for each other. How are you? How's your son, etc. And then there's the wave, light as a wave. It's eternal. It's beyond. It's beyond the nitty-gritty. This might be the touching into someone's inner gold, their courage, love. It's sort of spacious. In other words, we are both human and divine, both particular and wave. You know, just what a horrible mistake it was to shame our bodies. It seemed like Jesus was saying the exact opposite of that. So, but here it seems to be pointing to something more than just sorrow, right? The Buddhist thing of this, what was the three heavenly messages? Sickness, old age, and death. Yeah, not just suffering, but to our joys too, or in Christian language, to the resurrection after the inevitable death, in nature to the spring after the winter. I wonder, you know, if we could share our life stories like this, whether that would open us more to trusting this, you know, that after the sorrow there is joy. Or as George Fox wrote, you know, an ocean of darkness and an ocean of light. And I love it, in Sue's often inviting us to bring at the end of our meeting open to joys and sorrows, for us to share our joys and sorrows. Seems like that could be the key to maybe getting to know each other in the things that are eternal. I don't know. So I'm not going to talk too much more. I just wanted to go into our meditation with a quote from Mary Oliver. All things are inventions of holiness, some more rascally than others. All things are inventions of holiness, some more rascally than others. And I wanted to share that quote because our meditation today is going to be on forgiveness. And thinking about our meeting being a channel for God's love and forgiveness, and practicing a forgiveness meditation can be so very helpful. I think I found that, you know, and yeah, so that's what I'm hoping to do today, and then we will go into breakout rooms to perhaps go into the nitty-gritty of this lovely advice. I hope everyone can hear me. Welcome John, lovely to see you. Do use closed captions if that's available to you. Good. So I invite you to get comfortable, to perhaps wriggle or stretch if you need to, or if you want to grab an extra cushion or a blanket. Jennifer's joining us from the depths of winter in South Africa, so she might need an extra blanket. Good. Good. So, welcome. I invite you to take a deep breath. I know my voice gets quiet, so I'm going to get really close to the microphone and hope that that helps. Good. So when you're ready, you can close your eyes and just let your awareness drop down into the soles of your feet. You can imagine Your feet filling up with this warm liquid light. It might be a tingling sensation in your toes or the soles of your feet. Maybe not. So imagining you're a clay jug filling up from the feet, getting that warmth, that light. Take, eat, this is my body. Let it rise up through your lower legs, this embodied awareness. Rising up through your knees, up your upper legs, softening, warming, relaxing. You might sense it coming into your sit bones, your whole pelvic area. This liquid light, it might have the quality of being able to melt any knotty places. Perhaps rising up your lower spine and your abdomen, softening. It rises up through your thoracic area. Gentling, cherishing your heart, lungs. Softening, relaxing your shoulders. Trickling down your arms. Filling each finger, palms of your hand. Till your whole body is pulsing with this warm light. Rising up through your throat and the back of your neck. You might just tiny movement tuck in your chin and lengthen the back of your neck. So your whole body is alert and upright and relaxed. Imagine this light filling up your skull, warming and relaxing your thinking muscles, all the muscles around your eyes. You might play with a relaxation at the corners of the mouth. Sometimes a half smile can send that extra message to the body to relax. May the whole body relax. Imagine this warm liquid light keeps filling you up, almost like you're overflowing or it's seeping out through the pores and filling the area around you. Surrounded in light, held in light, and filled with light. You might allow your breath to oxygenate this light, almost like when we blow on a fire to kindle it and get the flame a little bit stronger. You could imagine your breath doing that, getting the light to be as strong as you want it to be. I invite you now to bring someone to mind who nurtures and accepts you. It could be a figure from history, it could be an imaginary figure, it could be a pet, a member of the family, someone who totally accepts and nurtures you. Maybe they are alive, maybe no longer alive. Someone who you feel completely at ease. As I say, it can be a spiritual figure or a figure from your imagination. Perhaps they come close and you can feel their acceptance. You can feel their nurture. That warmth, that light, that love. You are completely accepted and completely loved, the whole of you, every single cell of your body. Take a few breaths to oxygenate that. Let that fire of love grow. I'm just going to take a moment now to bring to mind a situation where you have a hard time forgiving yourself. You have a hard time letting yourself off the hook. See if you can just recognize, almost like you're watching a TV show and there is that situation playing out again on the TV, like one of those annoying commercials that just keep coming. There it is again. Imagine you could just turn the volume down on that commercial and close your eyes and just feel what it's like in your body. Where do you feel this sadness or grief or... Perhaps there's an ache in the heart. Can you allow that to be there, to be held in the light? That very loving being is right next to you, accompanying you, witnessing. Yeah, you've had a hard time letting yourself off the hook for this thing. And perhaps we could investigate it a little bit. You could just drop in the question. What's the worst thing about this? Why is it so hard to forgive myself? Perhaps you fear that if you forgive yourself, it will happen again, or perhaps there's a harsh voice that says, well, it is just unforgivable, or perhaps you were trying to meet your needs but didn't have the skills to do it any other way. And perhaps the dear accepting nurturer who's alongside you might say some things like, you did the best you could with what you had available at the time. Perhaps this loving being would put their hand on your heart. Forgiven. Forgiven. You might set the intention to forgive yourself. Maybe if you can't manage 100%, perhaps you could manage 50%. Knowing it's a work in progress. Forgiven. You might imagine, what would my life be like if I could be free of this being on the hook? What would my life be like if I could forgive myself 100%? All things are the invention of holiness, some more rascally than others. When you're ready, friends, you can gently open your eyes and receive each other, staying connected to that embodied sense of light and love for yourself and for each other. Gosh, thank you so much. So, we're going to go into breakout rooms of